don't know if you've seen the movie American Sniper. I don't know that I recommend it. This has so much profanity in it. But the story is really amazing, and the real life of Chris Kyle is really amazing. I just wish that I think they could have made the movie without putting so much profanity in it. But anyway, here's something that Chris Kyle this is from the book that he wrote about his life and his time in the military. He said this: "I don't spend a lot of time philosophizing about killing people." And did he have 160? Yes. Is that what it was? 160 kills as a sniper. He was a sniper and did, I think, was it 6 tours of duty, I think, in Iraq. Did he do any in Afghanistan? It was just Iraq, wasn't it? Four tours of duty in Iraq, and he was fighting the bad guys. And if you don't think there's bad guys, there are. You know, I heard Brother Keith Moore this morning saying, you know, somebody said, "Well, I just think we just need to lay our weapons down and let's all just get along." And that would be ideal. But he said, "You'll be speaking another language very soon if you have that attitude." Because there are people that won't negotiate. They don't have the same heart. They don't want to love and live in harmony. While I'm on this, have you seen, maybe talked about it before, the coexist, and I can tell this today since my wife is not here. She'd really get on to him if she knew I did this, so don't tell her. And hopefully she won't listen to this. Is this pre-post Josh or is this my, anyway. You've seen the coexist bumper sticker? You know, it's got the symbol for Islam and the symbol for Judaism and the symbol for, Buddhism or whatever, and Hutuism and Guguism and then Christianity. And it says coexist. Let's all just get along. Let's all just live in harmony. Let's all just get along. I saw one the other day, and I just couldn't help myself. I went up to the guy, and I said, "Hey, friend. I said, you need to take this bumper sticker over to the Middle East where ISIS is. They're the ones that need this message." I said, "We got this message over here. They're the ones that need it."
Amen.
Come on. You don't see Christians killing people of another religion. And you've never seen it in this country. Amen. You've never seen it in this country. But anyway, there is evil in the world, amen. And, you know, number one, we need to get folks saved, certainly. And thank God, and we do that. And Brother Carl talking about doing the will of God and help spreading the gospel. We're sending missionaries. Jared and Marilyn O'Dell are going back into Pakistan for I don't know how many times. They've been going since 2003 as a result of a door that opened through something that happened here in this church. And since 2003, they've gone into Pakistan, and they have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they've seen hundreds of thousands saved. So we're doing something along that line. Amen. It's amazing. It's a miracle that they're able to do that. So, but then on the other side of it, though, not everybody is going to get saved, and if they're trying to kill us, then we've got to defend ourselves, right? Amen. And so, here's what Chris Kyle said. I said all that to say this. "I don't spend a lot of time philosophizing about killing people. I have a clear conscience about my role in the war. I am a strong Christian. Not a perfect one, not close, but I strongly believe in God, Jesus, and the Bible. When I die, God is going to hold me accountable for everything I've done on earth. He may hold me back until last and run everybody else through the line because it will take so long to go over all my sins." Kyle also wrote that he didn't know what would happen on Judgment Day. And here's what he says about that. "But what I lean toward is that you know all of your sins, and God knows them all, and shame comes over you at the reality that He knows. I believe the fact that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior will be my salvation."
Amen.
That's it right there.
Yes.
That's it right there. The fact that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, that will be my salvation. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That will be our only standing before God. When you stand before God, your only reply and your only answer will be, "I believed in your Son." And He'll say, "That's enough. That's enough."
Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, when you get His life in you, it should begin to change your life, certainly, and the way that you live. Absolutely. We believe in that. But what's going to get you into heaven is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Amen. And He knew that. Thank God. Oh, I'm so glad to know that, because He was tragically, you know, He was out trying to help a fellow soldier that was suffering from PTSD, and the guy just flipped out and shot him. And and of course, the man's trial was just a while back, you know. But he went on to say, he says, but in that back room or whatever it is, when God confronts me with my sins, I do not believe any of the kills I had during the war will be among them. Everyone I shot was evil. I had good cause on every shot. They all deserve to die. Amen. So that's what he said about that. The next thing I want to read is about General Patton, General George S. Patton. And Daddy was in Patton's army, wasn't he? My father served under General Patton in World War II. He said, if you ignore Patton's Christianity, then you cannot understand how he approached challenges or how he achieved his successes or how he shaped history, King said. Now, Patton, if you don't know, was one of the greatest generals in World War II. He was raised reading the Bible and praying every day. You can't find a page or entry in his diary with him not giving thanks to God or asking for God's help when he is being challenged or writing a prayer himself. It is amazing how intense his personal devotion is. Patton's most famous prayer was the one he ordered the Third Army chaplain, James H. O'Neill, to write in early December 1944. And Daddy was probably right there. He was in serving in that time, so he was here during this time. And I wish we had one of these our dad probably received one of these cards I'm about to tell you about. As rains were bogging down the army's progress, O'Neill wrote a prayer that he assumed was for the general's private devotion, but Patton ordered it sent to every soldier under his command. The prayer was printed on cards with Patton's Christmas greeting on the other side, and it went out to most of the troops by the middle of December, right before the Germans launched the Battle of the Bulge. Keene said that he researched the prayer thoroughly to fully understand what it was all about. It wasn't just a gimmick to him, he said. What you start to understand is that Patton saw prayer as a force of God, really, not just some words one uttered. And here's the prayer. He had this prayer sent out to all the troops serving under his command and had them pray it. There's power in united prayer, and there's power in agreement. And here was their prayer. Almighty and merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains with which we have had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations. Amen. Amen. What a prayer. Yeah, boy, you know, he would probably be court-martialed for sending out something like that today, unfortunately. But that was just the prayer he sent out. He thought that everyone praying together was like a force field, like an X-ray. You couldn't see it, but it could shape and affect things with a power unto itself, he said. That's why he had the whole Third Army pray and issue a directive on prayer, because he thought it would help them accomplish their mission, he said. And it did. We won the war, didn't we? Yes. Amen. I thought you'd enjoy that on Memorial Day. So thank God for those that have served we live in the greatest country on the earth. Oh, I hope we always remember that and realize that and work and do our part to maintain that. Amen. 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 Praise God. We each have a responsibility in that. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 78 this morning. Psalm 78, verse 35. This is kind of the whole 77 and Psalm 77 and Psalm 78, both of them are kind of a summary of God's relationship with the children of Israel, or the children of Israel and their relationship with God. And just to read a brief excerpt of this, we won't read the whole chapter, it's quite lengthy, but starting verse 35 of Psalm 78, it says, "Then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered Him with their mouth, and they lied to Him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath, for He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from the enemy." Did you notice some key words in here? In verse number 35, it says, "Then they remembered that God was their rock." In verse number 39, it says, "He remembered that they were but flesh." And then in verse 42, it says, "They did not remember His power and the day that He redeemed them from the enemy." And so their relationship with God and God working among them and in them and through them, a lot of it hinged on them remembering or forgetting. And our relationship with God is based on the same things, on remembering and on forgetting. So I want to talk to you this morning about things to remember and things to forget. Things to remember and things to forget. So let's look at some things that we need to remember. Number one, remember this. Remember that God is your source. Remember that the Bible tells us things specifically that we're to remember. And these are not in particular order of importance, more from chronological, just from the early part of the Bible to the back part is what we'll go through today. But number one, remember that God is your source. And remember to honor Him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 talks about that. It says this, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." And so we're to remember that God is our source. He talks about when you've come into the land, and when you've partaken of all the good things that God has planned for you in this land that He promised, this promised land that He's given to you, when you get into that land, He said, "Beware lest you forget the Lord." When you've eaten and are full and you've enjoyed all these things, He says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God. It's He that gives you power to get wealth." So number one, remember that God is your source. Remember that everything that you have comes from... No, that didn't, Pastor. I worked hard. You know, I've worked all my life and I've developed my skill. Where do you think that came from? Where do you think that ability came from? Where do you think the opportunity came from? Where do you think your very life and breath came from? It comes from God, doesn't it? So remember that God is your source. That's why we tithe. When we tithe by bringing that 10%, taking the first 10% of our income and our increase, we're remembering, we're saying, "God, You're my source and I recognize it. I recognize it." Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Then number two, remember this. Remember that when you're doing well yourself, remember those that aren't. When you're doing well yourself, remember those who are not. God commanded the children of Israel to do that very thing. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 17, He says, "You shall not pervert justice due the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge, but you shall remember." Everybody say remember. "But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing." They had been oppressed. The children of Israel had been oppressed, and they'd been slaves in Egypt, and the Egyptians treated them harshly and had oppressed them. And He said, "I don't want that kind of oppression going on in your land. When you've come into your own land, and when you've become a nation, a free nation on your own, then don't you allow oppression of people to take place. Remember, you were oppressed yourself. Remember, you were not doing so well yourself. So when you come into the land, you remember the widow. You remember the stranger. You remember the fatherless. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 19, he goes on continuing in this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. On Mother's Day, of course, we talked about the story of Ruth and about how when Ruth and Naomi came back to the land of Israel, that they had lost everything. They were poor. And Ruth went out to glean in the fields. And the people that owned the land and they were harvesting their crops, they would leave. They wouldn't cut it clean. They wouldn't pick it clean, but they would leave it for the poor because God had commanded them to do that. Amen? And he says, it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. And so remember what it's like to depend on the kindness and generosity of others. Maybe you're doing well right now, but maybe there's something that you can do because you're doing well yourself that would bless somebody else and would mean so much to them and would help them. For you, it might be, oh, well, that's not a big deal. So, you know, one of the things here is our food ministry. And thank God for Royal and Barbara that head up this food ministry and what they do with that. And, you know, for some folks, it might be, oh, well, that's nice. You know, that's just some extras there. But there are quite a few people that depend heavily on that. And it's such a blessing. Amen. Amen. It's such a blessing. And so we're commanded. God says, remember that when you're doing well yourself, remember those that aren't and make provision for them and reach out to them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, the third thing that we're to remember the working of God in past generations. Remember the working of God in past generations. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. He said, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. So we need to remember what God did in the past. Now, you know, in general, I like history. But I'm not talking just about history in general. I'm talking about history as it pertains to the working of God. And in fact, I like what somebody's pointed out, that history is really His story. Amen. Because we see the hand of God working throughout the generations. And we need to understand that. You know, we thank God for, you know, we like to emphasize the youth and we should, you know, encourage and bring up the youth and look to them to take positions of leadership. But at the same time, we all need to look back and see what God did in the past. Right. You know, someone said, if you forget history, then you're destined to repeat it. Right. You know, and that can be a bad thing. That can be a negative thing. But it can be a good thing when we look back and we see what God has done. Remember, I preached a message a few weeks ago, passing the baton. Passing the baton from generation to generation. And we have to do that in order to receive that baton, that anointing, and that wisdom that the previous generation walked in. We've got to reach back and receive it. Just like when there's a relay race, when you're passing the baton, you know, the person that has the baton, they have to hold it out. That's the preceding generation. And the upcoming generation, they've got to hold their hand out to receive it. Both have a responsibility. Amen? And so that's us holding out our hand. When we look to the past and we see in the past how God has worked in generations past and what those folks learned and how they walked with God, we can learn from that. Amen? He says, remember those days. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he'll show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. The Message Bible says it this way: read up on what happened before you were born. You know, the world was here before you were born. Dig into the past. Understand your roots. Ask your parents what it was like before you were born. Ask the old ones. They'll tell you a thing or two. Praise God. That's good counsel, isn't it? And then number four, we need to remember the power and the miracles of God. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Hallelujah. We need to remember the power and the miracles of God. I'll tell you, when Brother Randy was here a few weeks ago, he made a statement that just got me thinking, just stirred me. He just in passing, he talked about how that is talking about Dad Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, and about how he would minister in the 60s and 70s quite extensively at Full Gospel Businessmen's conventions and meetings. And I, as he said that, I got to thinking, and the revelation hit me, that's really what launched his ministry. His ministry would not have been that well known if it hadn't been for the vehicle of Full Gospel Businessmen. And I remembered that I had a book on my shelf called The Happiest People on Earth. Have you ever heard of that book? The Happiest People on Earth. It was written by a man named Demas Shakarian, who was the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen. And I pulled that book off the shelf, and I started reading it, and I'm telling you, I got so stirred up because it talks about the power of God and the miracles of God and the mighty deliverances of God. And you know, we're not to live in the past, but when we go back in the past and we see what God's done, it stirs us up to say, Lord, do it in our day. Lord, do it in our time. Do it in our generation. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I could preach all day on that because it really, really blessed me and stirred me as I read that. But we need to remember the power and the miracles of God. The psalmist said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. And then number five, we need to remember His mercy, His compassion, and His faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verse 20. Now, the book of Lamentations, just think about that. Just think about that title for a minute. It is, Lamentations is from the word lament. And you know what to lament something is? It means to have regret and to look back and to say, oh, no, man, it was, you know, look what happened here. This is awful. This is terrible. And Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations, is lamenting the destruction of his nation. He's lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians because he lived to see that. He prophesied and he tried to warn the kings and the people and they wouldn't listen. And so he's lamenting the fate that has befallen his people. And he's remembering the terrible things that have happened. But then he says, one translation says, but I also remember this. Verse 21, in the midst of all this destruction, all this despair, all this that's gone wrong, he says, this I recall to my mind. Well, that's remembering, isn't it? When you recall something to your mind, that's the same as saying, this I remember. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, your situation, you may be looking back on the past month or the past year or the past 5 years, and maybe bad things have happened or bad things have befallen you, and you think about what could have done, you know, you could have done differently, or if this had gone differently. And you can get discouraged and all in despair, but you and I need to do what Jeremiah did, okay? In the midst of all of that, this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Amen. God wants you living with hope. Yes. God wants you living with hope. Amen? Amen? He is, in fact, he's called in Romans, he's called the God of hope. He wants you living with hope. What did Jeremiah recall to my mind? And so, well, we'll see in a moment here in the Message. Let me read it to you out of the Message. He says, but there's one other thing I remember. Look at that. I'm remembering all the bad things that happened, but there's one other thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. Do we have that?
Yes.
The Message? I want you to see it if we have it there. Verse 21 in the Message. I don't know maybe I didn't give that to you. I guess not. All right. But that's what he says. He says, one other thing I remember, and remembering I keep a grip on hope. There we go. Okay. Look at that. Isn't that good? There's one other thing I remember. He's remembering the, you know, he can't help but remember the bad stuff that's happened. But he says, wait a minute. There's something else I remember. And when I remember this, I keep a grip on hope. Hallelujah. You need to keep a grip on hope in your life. You ever told anybody, get a grip? Well, that's what you need to get a grip on right there. Get a grip on hope. And keep a grip on hope. Amen? Hallelujah. Here, what does he remember? Verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Oh, we may have been attacked and they may have brought us into captivity, but the purpose of God for our nation will stand, and he'll bring us back to this land and we'll flourish again. And here they are. They were destroyed. This nation was destroyed by the Babylonians generations ago. They were destroyed, and Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. But here they are, 1948. They became a nation again. We're still talking about this people and this land and this nation. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. And God's not just faithful to the Jewish nation. He is faithful to you. He's faithful to you as an individual. And you can say over your life and over your family what Jeremiah said over the nation. Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. The sixth thing that we need to remember is what Jesus told us in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. The next to the shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest verse in the Bible is what? Jesus wept. Here's the next shortest verse. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I don't remember her name, but but I'm going to remember Salty. Somebody said, well, yeah, that's pretty good. Remember Lot's wife. Said, why are we to remember that? Because Jesus said to remember it. Hey, if Jesus said remember it, then remember it. But there is a deeper reason here as well. Remember Lot's wife. Well, what about Lot's wife? Does anybody know anything about Lot's wife? Lot, you know, Lot went down to he and Abraham were together, and then the land couldn't support them because of all their livestock and sheep and cattle and everything, and so Lot chose to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and live there. And of course, that was a very wicked place. And finally, God, because of the outcry that had come up before God, God said, I've got to bring judgment here because there's a cry that's come up to me. And that's a whole nother message, but it's worth studying, it's worth considering, it's worth recognizing. And as a result of that, God had to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham interceded, and God brought Lot and his family, or Lot and his wife and his two daughters. He had daughters that were married, and he tried to convince them and his sons-in-law to leave, and they thought he was joking, and they laughed at him, and he couldn't convince them to leave. So Lot and his wife and his two daughters fled from Sodom, and as the destruction was about to come, Lot's wife looked back, and God had specifically told them, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. And she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt, the Bible says. That's quite an amazing thing in itself there. But Jesus said to remember this. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Remember not to look back. In other words, remember to forget. That's really what he's saying. Jesus said you need to remember to forget some things. Don't look back. Why was she looking back? That place was wicked. That place was under the judgment of God. God was judging Sodom and Gomorrah. He was about to rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy it. And God told Lot and his family, don't look back. You've got a new future. You've got a new life. Don't look back at anything that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, yeah, I know they were wicked, but we did enjoy this back there. Yeah, I know that was going on, but we didn't like that. I think that's why she was looking back. I think that there were still some elements of that life that she enjoyed, some elements of that life that she still that still had a pull and an attraction to her. Amen. Folks, there comes some times in your life where you need to be like Lot's wife and don't look back. God's delivered you. Amen. Maybe some of you have been through, you've walked through this and been through this. Maybe there's some friends you shouldn't hang around with anymore. Well, I want to try to witness. Well, you better be strong enough to go back and witness them. Otherwise, they'll pull you back in. Don't look back. Don't look back. Amen? And so that's what Jesus, so we're to remember to forget. Amen. Remember to forget some things. Remember to go forward and not look back. Amen. It could be on a negative, but there's more we want to say about that too. Paul talks about that. Negative things in our life and failures. We need to turn around and not look back at that. Amen. Thank God for His mercy and for a fresh start that He gives us. Number seven. Seventh thing we're to remember. Remember the stuff in Hebrews 13. Remember the stuff in Hebrews 13. So what are you talking about, the stuff in Hebrews 13? Well, there's a lot of stuff He tells us to remember in Hebrews 13, as it happens. Hebrews 13, verse 2, look at this. Hebrews 13, 2, He says, do not forget. Well, that'd be remember, wouldn't it? Do not forget to entertain strangers. Now, be careful when you do that. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Verse 3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And He's specifically talking about there and how that would apply with us today, twofold. Number one, it would be those that are incarcerated. I wouldn't say that they're being mistreated if a person's incarcerated because of their own crimes that they've committed, but we remember them by going and ministering to them, and we do that. We have a jail ministry team that goes and ministers in the Forsyth County Jail, and so we're to reach out, and we don't go in there condemning them. We don't go in there telling them, you buzzards, you deserve. We go in there with the good news. We go in there telling them that God loves them because He does. We go in there telling them that He'll give you a fresh start because He will. We go in there telling them He'll forgive you if you ask Him because He will. And those guys, I love going in. I hadn't gone in years, and I went in a few months ago. I just love going in. They're so hungry. They're just so hungry for God and so hungry to hear some good news. It's just just real easy to minister to them. So we're to remember them, but it has direct application with with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted around the world. He says, remember them. Remember them, those who are mistreated. He says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Wow, that means we really need to be praying for them. We really need to be doing what we can in their support, don't we? Yes. Amen. Amen. Verse 7, he says this. This is out of God's Word translation. Did we get? I don't know if I gave you God's Word. I'm sorry. Just listen to this, and I failed to give that to her correctly, and we don't have that she can access unless I typed it out to her exactly. So just listen. Hebrews 13, 7 out of God's Word. Remember your leaders who have spoken God's Word to you. Think about how their lives turned out and imitate their faith. See, I have a responsibility not only to teach you the Word, but to live an example of the Word of God. And my life should be one that you can look at and remember and say, hey, he's followed the Lord and he's walked with God, and I can see how God has worked in his life, and he'll do the same for me. Right? Right? Amen. So he says, remember that. Remember that. And then Hebrews 13, verse 16. Here's another one. One of the things in Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 16, he says, but do not forget. That's remember. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See, in the new covenant now, we don't have to offer any of those sacrifices they did under the old covenant, because Jesus fulfilled all that for us, didn't He? Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Now the sacrifice we're to offer, verse 15, he says, we're to offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I trust that you offered up that sacrifice to the Lord this morning. the sacrifice of praise, a sweet-smelling savor that goes up to Him. And here's another sacrifice. He says, do not forget to do good and to share. Amen. To be a blessing and share and help one another. He says, with those kind of sacrifices, God is well pleased. He's well pleased. Amen. And that's really, when we look at that verse, that's really the New Testament fulfillment of the directive that we read in Deuteronomy 24. When we read about how we're to remember those and leave some in the field for them to gather and not oppress them. This is the New Testament fulfillment. There's oftentimes you'll find, always, you'll find the principle in the Old Testament is illustrated. There's a companion truth or scripture in the New Testament that connects with it, and that one does there. All right. Now, there's some things that we should not remember, some things we should forget. Number one, our sins, when we repent and when we ask God to forgive us. I thought I'd get a little better amen on that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if, everybody say if.
If.
Now, there's an if here. There's an if in this scripture. Now, some folks have gotten confused about this in recent times, so we need to clarify this. Do we have to confess our sins? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That doesn't, you know. Now, let me just say a little bit more about that. Now, again, in recent years, some folks have come along and said, oh, well, Jesus paid for your sin once and for all, and so it's not even necessary that you confess your sin. He's already covered it. Well, it is important that you confess your sin because the Scripture tells us to right here. One of the main people that is promoting this idea, you have to look back, and I've heard him tell this story before, about how, you know, when he got saved, he just was tormented with thoughts. Every 30 seconds, he was repenting of something. Well, you can't live like that. You can't live, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. He couldn't function hardly. Well, he was in an extreme, extreme case there on that side. And so what happens is a lot of times when you see the truth, you just move too far over and get into a little bit of error on the other side. And so that's what's happened there with him. He's a good man, but he swung it too far. Oh, well, you know, I don't have to stop and confess my sin every 30 seconds. See, he would have a wrong thought. And he'd stop and confess his sin. Well, if you've had a wrong thought, friend, that's not a sin. You know, Dad Hagin said you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head. One flew over my car and did his business right on the way to church this morning. It's right there. Just had washed the car last night. Well, I couldn't prevent that. I didn't stop and say, oh, God, forgive me for letting that happen. You can't control, and the devil comes along and, you know, poops a thought out in your head. His garbage. My brother Hagin said, you can't do that, you can't prevent that, but you can prevent a bird from building a nest in your hair. Don't entertain the thought. You've not sinned because you've thought a wrong thought. And so this man thought that, and he was repenting every 5 seconds, you know. Well, no, that's bondage. That's excess there. But then he swung it over too far. It's like if you're driving down the road and you start to skid or run off the road, more accidents are caused by people overcorrecting, aren't they, than by the actual thing. That happens spiritually. Sometimes people overcorrect and they get in a mess on the other side. No, we have to confess our sin. When we sin, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, get that message. Get that message. Glory to God. When we confess our sin, He's faithful. Thank God He's faithful. And just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He said, that's it. Move on now. Go on. If you miss it, if you sin, say, God, forgive me. I missed it. I sinned. Get up and walk with your head held high and walk forward knowing that you've been made righteous. You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. That sin is washed away. Come on. So don't forget them, or don't remember them. Well, our sins, when we repent, And when we ask God to forgive us, we should not remember that sin anymore. We should not walk around with her. It's not, time doesn't heal that. Sometimes we think that, well, I'm going to ask God to forgive me, and then I'm going to walk around, you know, mournful for about a week here, and with my head down and acting like a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. And then finally, maybe God will see that I've done enough and I'll feel better about this. No, no. The moment you ask Him to forgive you, He forgives you. And the moment you're forgiven, you're righteous. Get up and go forward. You're cleansed. Amen? Don't remember it. When God forgives you, believe that. Don't wait till you feel forgiven. Don't go by your feelings. Amen? Hallelujah. Another thing that we should not remember, past successes and failures, both. Philippians 3:13. Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Notice that. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. See, God, listen, look here. God has some things that are ahead for you. But you got to reach hold, you got to grab hold of them with both hands, spiritually speaking. If you're still holding on to what's behind here, then you'll never be able to reach forward to what He has ahead for you. Amen? Don't miss what He has ahead for you in your life because you're parked, you're holding on to what is behind. Now, that can either be a past failure. Oh, man, I messed up so bad. Well, join the club. Haven't we all? Haven't we all? Amen? We've all missed it. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. Amen? Even after you got saved, you've missed it. You've sinned. You've messed up. Don't park there. Don't park there. Or past success. Oh, well, you know, God did this. I saw God do this, you know, 20 years ago, and I'm living in that. No, no, no. God's doing something today. God's doing something today. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, "I'll do a new thing." Amen. We forget the things that are behind, and we reach forward to the things which are ahead. He said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Don't get stuck either on past failures or past accomplishments. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's another thing. This is huge. We'll start to wrap this up here. Another thing that we should not remember. We should not remember when others sin against us and do us wrong. You were hoping we were going to get through this message without that coming up. Did he have to bring that up? All right. Yes, I did. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the New Living Translation. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Look at this now. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It keeps no record of being wronged. You know, sometimes people come when when I'm at the back after service and shaking hands with folks, and they'll tell me something. And that's important that I need to remember to do or remember to follow up on. What are y'all laughing at? And so what I try to do then, the moment they tell me that, because I know if I don't do this, I'm not going to remember it. I get myself a little sticky note, and I do what? I write it down. I keep a record of it. I keep a record of it so I can remember it. But if I don't keep a record of it, if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember it. Now that can work positive or negative. So he says, love, the love of God doesn't write it down. The love of God, when it's wronged, it doesn't write it down. It's what they did to me. Royal is great about remembering different food items that I like or that our family likes. And what was it? Oh, the little The little coconut, the dark chocolate with coconut things that were back here. If you'd missed out on those, you missed out. I fished out every one of those I could find.
I put more today.
Did you? Thank you. He put more today, he said. The reason he did that is because I told him I liked him, and I said, make a mental note. I tapped him right there, and he did. You might not write it down, but if you make a mental note, some things you can make a mental note of. But the Bible says it keeps no record of being wronged, the love of God. Now, the love of God's in you. If you're saved, if you're born again, the love of God is in you. And the way the love of God operates, it keeps no record of being wronged. Amen. That's one of the things that we're not to remember. Memorial Day is not to remember all the times that so-and-so did you wrong. All the mistakes that so-and-so made and hurt your feelings. Amen. Amen. That's what you need to not remember. That's what you need to not keep a record of. Love keeps no record of being wrong. Amen. Don't write it down. You know, and just wrapping this up, God says that He will not remember our sins. Amen. He says their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, that's not because God has a bad memory, is it? Why does He not remember? Because He loves us and because He chooses not to remember. He makes a decision. I choose not to remember that. That's the way we have to be. When people wrong us, when people do, we have to choose. We have to make a decision. I'm not going to. Now listen, there's a balance to that. You know, if you park in a neighborhood where they steal your hubcaps, then, or pull your radio out of your car, then, you know, well, the Bible says keep no record of wrongs. I'm going to put a new radio in and pull right there and leave the car unlocked. No. Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about letting people abuse you. Amen. We don't do that. But we release that. We let that go for our sake, for our benefit. I keep no record of that wrong. I'm not going to harbor bitterness. I'm not going to harbor unforgiveness in my heart. Amen. I'm going to release that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God, there's some things that God will not forget. Isaiah 49, it says, Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me and my God has forgotten me. Verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Oh, isn't that amazing? The people of God, he said, well, the Lord's forsaken me. They said, God's forgotten me. It may seem like that in your life that God has forgotten you, but I'm telling you, beloved, He has not forgotten you. Here's what He said about that. He said, a woman may forget her nursing. Now, that's rare. You know, that may happen if she's, you know, if she's on drugs or something, that could happen. But, you know, we're horrified when we hear of stories like that. Well, how could this woman do that? That's her child. 99.99999% of the women would never do that. Right? I mean, all you ladies in here, think about how you love your children. Can a woman forget her nursing child, her little baby? You would never forget your little baby. No. God said in the same way, He said, and in fact, and it's not the same way, it's even greater. He said, they might forget. He said, but I'll not forget you. Verse 16, He says, see, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God will not forget you. Of Hebrews 6, verse 10. It says this, something else that God will not forget as well. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. So many of you in here serve God. So many of you that volunteer and serve in this church or serve God in many different capacities. Well, God says, I am not going to forget that. I am not going to forget that. I tell you, if you ever served in our children's ministry, there could not have been a greater reward than what you got a while ago when Reese stood up here and talked about the impact that you had in her life. Praise God. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you've shown toward His name in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. When you minister to the people of God, when you serve the people of God in any capacity, God said, you've shown love toward His name. And He said, I will not forget that. I will not forget that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank You.